Liberty sees me, it stands by me, and celebrates me for who I am.
When I come into the office, I feel that I belong here.
I don't have to be corporate America Gabby. I can just bring Gabby to work.
Reach your potential and find a job you love at Liberty Mutual. We offer development training, rich benefits, and a culture that lets you bring your whole self to work so you can pursue your tomorrow today. Ready to consider a career at Liberty Mutual? Find out how at libertymutualcareers.com.
Episode 25 of This Is Us 2 is brought to you by MinuteWithMary.com. It's a great place to discover new makeup and uncover your confidence as a woman, and Minute with Mary is a minute with me. Guys, me, this girl that you're listening to. Just search the hashtag MinuteWithMary on Facebook. Please, please, please request to join my marvelous VIPs there. Just come say hi. I'm a normal person, and I want to help you feel more confident with your makeup.
And life has a middle, too. And middles can be the hardest, because that's when you can get really lost. But middles can be a beginning sometimes.
Welcome to Hollywood.
Please!
Fine! I know I'm the best hairstylist in town, so I'll do your hair.
Yes!
I'll put cold and I'll make you look like Beyonce. Yes.
And if you're lucky, you can have it all. You are the luckiest, prettiest, sweetest baby ever named after a ceiling fan. Sad songs.
From Cranston, Rhode Island, welcome to This Is Us 2. It's a podcast dedicated to This Is Us on NBC. So sit back, relax, and let's all have a good cry. Hello, hello, everybody. How's it going? My name is Mary Larson.
My name's Blake, and, you know, I miss my 20s. I feel like I was in my groove in my 20s.
Shake your groove thing.
Right? Like, you know, I'd gotten married to my wife. Well, you know, I was in my late 20s when we got married, but I met my beautiful wife when I was, oh geez, 24. And, you know, I had some money put away. I was working, I was successful at my work, and I had this beautiful girl on my side that just decided that she liked me. And it was, I miss my 20s, man.
It was a good time.
Rebecca was right. You can get lost in the middle part of your life, which was so far my 30s. But, you know, as I was watching this episode, I was going to give you a story about my 20s and how I did, in fact, enjoy my 20s. But I decided against that. I decided against it because I almost had to help Mary give birth in the back of my car, just like how Randall helped Beth.
God, that was a close call.
This is one of my favorite stories that Mary and I have together, which is for our second child. Felicity was coming, and we thought we knew what we were doing.
We
had already been through all this. We were waiting. We were like, we're not going to the hospital yet. They told us that when we first went there with Reese, that like, hey, man, you got a while. Like, you better just chill out. So we figured, okay, you know what? We're just going to stay at the house. We're going to be all right. Little did we know that a second child comes out much quicker.
Frequently, yes.
Frequently. And it comes, it's very fast paced.
Didn't help that I'd been 3 centimeters dilated for 2 weeks.
Right. So
already,
you know, Mary's in the tub and all of a sudden she starts mooing. It's just, I heard the sound go, ugh, and she's like, I have to poop. I was like, okay, go poop. She's like, no, that's not good.
That means I'm having a baby.
So instantly I get in my Dodge Charger, which was an RT, it was a V8 and everything. And I get Mary in the back of the thing and in the back of the car, and she's on all fours.
Yep.
And she's going, and she's continuing to moo. And I'm breaking every single law that there is in Providence on the roads, not going, I'm just blowing stop signs. I'm going 80. It's like 11 o'clock at night and I'm just begging cops to pull me over. But the problem though was that Mary wanted to bring a camera.
I wanted to document my birth like those hipsters do, and they have those really pretty photos, and they're in like tubs and stuff.
Yeah, so we thought if we, yeah, we're gonna do hipster stuff.
Yeah.
The problem was that I left the camera and the battery and everything on my roof as I was driving.
We had the camera, but I left the battery and everything
on the roof, so it went out into the middle of the road. Me, being the dutiful husband I am, saying I want to fulfill my wife's dream and have hipster pictures. I stop the car and decide I'm going to look in the middle of the dock for these batteries.
While I'm on all fours in the back seat, mooing, having a baby.
And, you know, I'm outside with my cell phone light trying to find these things. And she's going, I don't give an F about the thing. Get in this car.
I didn't say that. I couldn't even speak.
No. You were speaking.
I just kept saying, get in the car.
Yeah, I don't. No, you. I don't give an F about the
thing. It was like I was Jeff Goldblum on Jurassic Park.
Must go faster.
When that was pretty much me.
Welcome.
Must go faster. Must go faster.
So that is one of my favorite stories on this planet. We were very close to giving birth in the car. As soon as we got to the hospital, about maybe 5-10 minutes later, kid was out.
I didn't even get checked in, guys. I didn't even get a wristband.
That's another favorite of mine. I drove the car right up to the hospital.
You're getting a double whammy.
I know, right in front of the emergency doors, so no one could get in and out of the hospital. It was just my car, my Dodge Charger, right? And the lady, as Mary is mooing and she can't even walk, I have to call cops over and nurses to come help me pick her up and put her in the wheelchair and send her upstairs.
It was like they have in the movies, guys.
And the lady that's at the front desk, she's going, excuse me.
You need to check in.
You need to check in. Excuse me. I looked at that lady. I said, lady, you have 3 questions. Choose wisely. Because I already sent Mary upstairs.
Yeah, I was already doing my thing.
And she's like, what's her name or date of birth and blah, blah, blah. Like, you know, whatever. But just like, get out of here.
Didn't even get a bracelet.
So that is my story for...
Yeah, I saw... Yeah, in this episode, I was like, thank God that wasn't us.
Mm-mm. No, thank you. Should have seen that lady's face when I told her she had 3 questions.
Oh my goodness.
Because normally they give you the paper and everything. You
oh my
gotta
God,
fill the
it takes
whole thing
you
out.
So long when you go to the ER. I was already giving birth and the poor thing was like, oh crap, I just let someone into the hospital.
Excuse me.
Don't even know her blood type.
You need to check in. I don't even know if she's allergic to latex.
I know, they asked me after birth. We hope you weren't allergic to latex.
Oops.
Lucky for you, I'm not. All right, so let's get into the show. Tell me a little bit about the details from this episode.
The title was The 20s, and obviously it's referring to the flashback, which is our first flashback into the Pearson children's 20s.
Hey.
Which was an interesting move, I feel like, on the writer's part. It's an interesting move.
Interesting.
And not like how your mom says it.
Okay.
Kind of how like your mom says it.
Yeah.
You know, for those who don't know, Mary's mom, whenever she doesn't like something, she always says, that's interesting. That's interesting. And she says it with this real weird tone. Yeah. So you just know immediately she hates it. The director was Regina King. Now, some of you fellow nerds out there may know who Regina King is. She's an actress.
She's an amazing actress.
And if you follow Mary and Blake Media, then you will know that she actually starred in The Leftovers, which is a favorite show of ours. Please go watch The Leftovers if you have not. It was on HBO. And then listen to Mary and Blake's podcast called The Living Reminders, The Leftovers podcast, whenever you get a chance. But she was in The Leftovers. She was also in 24, mm-hmm. that show. And she was also in that movie Ray. She's been in a whole bunch of other stuff like Southland or whatever. And she's actually directed a pretty good amount of television, too.
She's a rock star.
Including The Good Doctor, Shameless, Scandal, and Southland. So this
Look at all those S's.
All the alliteration.
Yes.
So She is multi-talented, man.
That she is.
And, you know, I love Regina King. If you ever see her in The Leftovers, they're fantastic. Anyway, the writer for this one is Don Roos, who is actually a producer of this show. What?
I'm just seeing his name. It looks like Dunkaroos. Don Roos, R-O-O-S.
Don Roos.
Do you remember those Dunkaroos? They were like little graham crackers that you dunked in frosting and somehow it became like a lunch snack that was somehow acceptable to kids in the 80s and 90s.
Do you remember the theme song to the Dunkaroos?
I'm going to find it.
I'm going to find it too.
I'm going to find it before you.
No, you're not.
Shoot. Really? 1994.
No, nobody can hear it when you play your hoopie. Oh. I gotta play it.
My name is Sydney. I'm an Aussie hunk. Got a wacky snacky that just eats your dunk. It's on one side, frosting on the other. The creamy taste will drive you wild.
Let's have another
Dunkaroos, Dunkaroos.
You don't just eat your Dunkaroos.
Frosting's light.
Vanilla, like this somehow was totally acceptable to give those five-year-old kids cookies dunk in frosting.
Yeah, they're like, yeah, that's a good idea. We'll just slap an Australian kangaroo on it. He'll sing.
Give
Dunkaroos.
Him a Lunchable with a Dunkaroo, and that you go. There you go. So poor so Don Roos.
This Don Roos has only
Dunkaroos.
Right now, I think he only has one credit for This Is Us. But he was made a producer for season two. But you should actually know Don Roos because he's written many movies. And he's quite famous for it, as a matter of fact. He wrote that movie Single White Female.
Yeah.
He also wrote Love Field, Bounce, and Marley and Me. So all the tears for Marley and Me.
Yeah.
All of the tears. So those are the deets on this episode, my darling, after our Dunkaroos segue.
Let's talk about the lemonade ratings.
What do you got for your lemonades?
My lemonade was a good, solid 4.7. Good episode.
Wow, okay.
Enjoyed it.
Oh,
wow. Really
so you liked it better than the last episode, Brothers.
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
I'm quite surprised by that.
That's okay.
Because I am on the same. I think I'm going to switch with you. I'm going to go 4.6 on this one.
Okay, that's fine.
But still,
like in that same vein, like a solid episode.
There. Like it's we're getting some horses again.
Yes, okay? We are.
The ponies are not there, but it was good. It was interesting what they'd done with the 20s.
Well, let's dive in. What was your GBG? What was your good, your bad, your great? You want me to go first?
Yes, please. Okay. That'd be great.
You love for me to go first.
Well, you
You're
always
such
go
a gentleman.
First.
All right.
Let's keep going.
So my good for this episode was Kate and Kevin being so honest and ever-loving, like how they got to Randall's, you know, Randall's growing up, Randall's having the kid, Randall's married, Randall's got this nice house, and Kate and Kevin being like, yeah, we're cool. Actually, no.
We're not.
No, I haven't had an audition in a year. You know, I just slept with a married man. Like, I just adore their relationship as children when Kevin gives up his candy so that Kate can have this little dream walk through the haunted house. Mm. And now even here, and even knowing how they go on in life, I am just, I wish I had a twin. Okay. I need that in my life. My bad, Kate sitting in her car, eating fast food, looking at the house.
Oh,
oh my God. That is like, have you ever had those low moments in your life where you are doing something like that and you're like, God, this is so low and I can't stop.
Right.
I can't stop.
I just suck right now.
Just not I, but like life.
Yeah, like everything just sucks.
Yeah. Goodness, Kate. I've been there. Not that same thing, but you know, we've all been there. And that's why this show is so good because it is us. And my great was Rebecca. Picking up the broken mug, saying that was one of the happiest moments of my life, referring to the birth. But also, your dad isn't here, and that's something that I'm going to have to deal with the rest of my life. The happiest moments will also be a little sad. And this is my great because it is so real and so raw. And I have not, thank goodness, lost someone in my life yet due to death. And I know that when that does happen, that this is going to be how I feel.
Sure.
And I know that it's how, you know, you feel. Mm-hmm. You bring it up all the time where you say, gosh, my mom would have loved this.
Right.
And it's like so happy. And yet there's that part of you that's like, the person that I love would have loved this alongside of me. So, and I loved how they mirrored that in this episode with Rebecca having to talk to Jack about how she had to do the conversation with Randall without him. And she said, I don't know how I'm going to do this without, you know, I can't believe I did this without you. I can't do this without you. And here she is saying, you know, to do these things without him is so sad. Mm-hmm. And it was just a great moment of truth and human honesty. How about you? What was your good, bad, great?
My good was, I think it's good writing that Kate was so unaware about little Billy Palmer being paid off by her brother to hold her hand. Yet she is in her adulthood very well aware that her diner lovemate,
mm-hmm.
let's just call him
lovemate,
because I don't think he's got a name in the episode. The diner lovemate. She knew that he was married. And
she figured it out. I don't think she always knew.
Well, she said deep down she always knew.
Uh-huh.
And she still slept with him. But after realizing that she has just been self-sabotaging, you talked about sitting in front of the house eating fast food, right?
Yeah.
She's been self-sabotaging herself, all of her 20s, which is why, you know, she's at the diner and she mm-hmm. isn't doing anything of like real, like that is, that follows her talent ability. Do you know what
mm-hmm.
I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So she just decides, screw it. I'm going to leave Pittsburgh, and I'm going to leave my dad. I'm going to leave the shadow behind, and I'm going to go to LA, and I'm going to mm-hmm. live with Kevin. Now, that may not be the best decision on the whole planet, but you know what? It makes Kate an active character who
yep.
takes her life into her own hands. And it shows you, wow, this is what she did because of her diner lovemate, right?
Yes.
The bad. Okay, come on, man. Why the hell does it got to be all the Larsons that give the crappy candy away?
Right? The Larsons. That's the house that Randall wants to skip on Halloween because the Larsons give licorice. You, Blake, hate licorice.
I effing hate licorice. I can't stand licorice. Why in God's name would any Larson in their right mind give away licorice, right? More importantly, they even spell it the way that I spell it, with the E. It's like, you know, it'd be one thing if they spelled it with an O
yeah,
on the map.
We could be like, oh, that's not us.
That's not us. No, that's no. This was an E. It's Danish, not Swedish. Drives me insane. And it just so happens to be that the Larsons are the group of the people who blew Randall's 10-year-old mind about his miracle baby status. Come on. I know commandment number one is supposed to be, for this is us too, is that you can't kill them for something they haven't done yet.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm taking this as a direct affront to my character. A direct affront. I'm not happy about it. Don't they know that we have a podcast about
this
show? Or
seriously.
At least they should have known at the time.
Alas.
So the great for me was Regina King.
Ooh.
I thought she did a phenomenal job at directing this episode. What she brought to the table was spectacular.
Truly.
It was paced very well. And that is, it has to do with editing, but it mainly it's the way that things are shot. So it's paced, meaning the way how things move along, the rate at which things move along in an episode. You could have serious action, then all of a sudden it's like dead silence, and you're like, oh my God, I don't know if I'm going up or down or left or right. But it felt right. It felt mm-hmm. nice and smooth.
Stable.
Especially considering the back and forth between the 20s and then future and all of that stuff. It was... and then the kids and Halloween, it could have gone really awry. But more importantly, the subversion of expectation that she does in this episode, like with Kate, and how things were handled with her, specifically as it relates to, and this is, again, this kind of writing, but the way she shoots it, it's important. The way that Kate just shows up to the bar.
Mm-hmm.
And the diner lovemate, you know, you think... he is going to say, hey, man, we're just friends.
Yep.
But he doesn't do it. They go and they do it, right?
Uh-huh.
And the way that she directs Kate is very important, where she's just like, I kind of knew it the whole time. It's just like a slow realization. And the way that she handles the shots of Rebecca talking to the children at the end of the episode, it's in the 80s, with Jack framed in the back. with him just looking in on Rebecca as she doesn't even know it, but as she's speaking, he's there.
Yeah.
And then when she's in the future, he's not there, obviously.
Oh, gosh. Pulling at my heartstrings.
It's because I'm awesome. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Just gorgeous stuff. I really, really, truly appreciated everything that... that Regina King did this episode.
Maybe, lovely job.
Maybe because I'm biased and I love Regina King. Could be so. I'm willing to go that far.
Man.
So what did you think? Where did you want to start on this one? So you gave it a 4.7. You liked it better than the last episode.
I did.
What really stood out for you? Like, what's the one thing that stands out?
The one thing.
I can't even believe... I legitimately cannot believe you're taking this long. Do you want to know why?
Tell me.
Y'all been sleeping on my boy Miguel.
Oh.
What are we doing here?
Oh my gosh. You're right. I like thought I wrote it as my good and then I changed it. Miggy.
You are sleeping on Miguel on this one. I thought this was going to be the first thing you talk about.
Oh my gosh. Miggy's on Facebook, guys.
Just sliding into those DMs.
Oh my goodness. You never know. You never know when love will be kindled on Facebook, on the Book of Face.
Man.
I adored. I mean, I feel like we just need to talk about Rebecca.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, a lot of people will say that this episode was about the kids. It's the 20s. It's Randall having his child, and Kevin dealing with the fact that he loses his friend and trying to get auditions and doing hair and then
but
Kate moving to
new.
LA. But it was like, we didn't learn
correct.
Anything.
Yeah. Like nothing new. Yeah. Like, yes, we knew that Randall had this breakdown, so we got to see it, but I wasn't surprised by Randall in this episode. It's not like there was anything new about Randall and there wasn't anything new about Kate or Kevin. Everything that I right. saw, I said, yep, that fits in character. What was new was Rebecca. Right. What was new was Jack calling Rebecca out mm-hmm. and saying, you're treating Randall like he's something else. Like, right. He can do no harm. And for Rebecca and Jack to have to really go through that relationship and, all right, sure, we'll split the kids down. And Rebecca trick-or-treats alone with Randall and mm-hmm. does see this happen to him mm-hmm. and then does have to have this conversation alone.
Right. And I'm absolutely glad that you brought this up because this is absolutely a Rebecca episode, mm-hmm. in my opinion. Mm-hmm. It's not just because, you know, we get the reveal about how your boy Miguel,
my boy,
slides into her DMs.
Yeah.
But because she has to face all of these things as a strong woman, and it gives
yes.
her slightly bit more. It gives mm-hmm. her, yes, we do learn. I mean, we already know that she ends up with Miguel, but how it happens is important.
Because we've been asking that question. It's part of the puzzle. You know, there's several pauses that are going on now
sure.
at the same time. And this has been a huge thing is how did we get from Miguel being Jack's best friend, Jack dying, and somehow Miguel and Rebecca end up married.
Right.
And to now know, I mean, what did he say? Like, what have you been up to these past 8 years?
Right.
It's been eight years since they've talked.
Right.
Which makes me feel good.
And
that's a good amount of breathing
it
room.
It fits within the timeline.
Yes.
Because, you know, the kids were born in 1980.
Mm-hmm.
They're showing the 90s. 95, 96 is when, 97 is when Jack dies. 8 years later, we're talking about, 2005, 2006. And they made it very clear at the beginning of this episode that the setting was 2007, 2008.
What makes you say that?
All the Obama-Biden stickers.
Yes, okay.
Sprinkled okay.
Everywhere.
No, they weren't sprinkled. They were splattered everywhere.
Oh my gosh. Whenever I see that amount of stickers in someone's home, I could just think about the copious amounts of rubbing alcohol they're going to need to remove that sticky glue once the sticker is no longer like... nice, you know?
But this is absolutely a Rebecca episode.
Yes.
Because more importantly, what you learn about her is that, yes, of course she's sad. You know she's sad.
I needed this episode.
But you needed to know the fact that even though she can experience happy moments, and this was the happiest moment of her life, Jack is still... ever present in her mind, which is why she still wears the moon necklace.
Well, you know, what was really important about this is I feel like we love Jack and Rebecca. Right. We love Jack and Rebecca, but it's because we love Jack.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Rebecca's great. Rebecca's cool. But Rebecca's a flawed, tired mama who, you know, but Rebecca and Jack, like, they make each other so much better.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like older Rebecca, we've kind of had a chip on our shoulders. We've been like, you kept stuff from Randall. Granted, mm-hmm. that was the whole life that she's done it. But we've been mad at Rebecca for that.
Sure.
We've been a little weirded out that she's married to Miggy.
The whole thing with Kate.
We don't love how things are with she and Kate. So I feel like we've needed an older Rebecca episode
mm-hmm.
to remind us that she is half a person right now.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Yeah. I totally agree. One of the things that I really like, too, about how they framed Rebecca in this episode and how I've kind of noticed it throughout the entire run so far
mm-hmm.
is that when you see Rebecca in her 20s, you know, she's this vibrant young woman, or in her 30s, rather,
yeah.
vibrant young woman. Even she's frazzled, obviously, because she has, you know, triplets. But,
yeah.
you know, it's Mandy Moore.
Yeah.
And she's
frazzled, but still fabulous.
The girl, she just floats on a cloud,
yes,
right?
She does.
She's just beautiful.
Yes.
And, but as they show Rebecca later on in mm-hmm. life, mm-hmm. you know, obviously she's still gorgeous. It's yes. all makeup or whatever. But Mandy Moore does this really cool thing in how she alters her appearance and how she alters her like face. the way she holds herself,
yes.
the way, her posture.
Yes.
You know, she's just a little bit more controlled.
She's a little bit more conservative. Like librarian.
Yes.
As she gets older, she sits like she has a little stick up her bum, and she does little shorter movements like the librarian right. going.
And she like holds her arms up.
Yes.
Like,
we're both
hands.
Doing it. It's the newscaster hold.
Yeah.
She does the newscaster hold slash like the little woman who makes cookies for the people next door librarian.
Yes. I'm going to knit you something, honey.
And I almost see that as a protective thing. You know, yes, we joke that newscasters do that. But when you like protect your core, you hold yourself in a little bit.
Sure, yeah.
Rebecca's
look at you.
Sad.
Look at you getting there with that one. I like this episode. The reason why I gave it a 4.6
mm-hmm. It was a 4.7 until I said 4.7. Then you didn't want to match me because you hate when I order the same food as you at a restaurant.
I can't stand when you order the same food as me. It drives me nuts.
I know.
It drives me crazy. I don't know why, but it's like, don't copy me, dude. Get your own food.
We should just get two things and then share it.
I gave it a 4.6 because I felt like I didn't really learn anything from the 20s. But it was made better by the fact that if you look at it through the lens of Rebecca,
yep.
you see something very special.
Yes.
Which is, it's an exposition. Well, not an exposition. It's an example of how when she and Jack met each other in their 20s, it mm-hmm. was something out of a passion. And
yep.
it was instant. And you could see it.
Yep.
And it was palpable. It was there. It was textured. It was vibrant. And it was a stop in your tracks moment when they met each other.
And truly a unique one, you know, because this is one of the things that I feel like television makes you feel like all of us are going to have our show stopping soulmate moment in
sure.
our 20s, maybe when we're young, who knows? And I love that this show has Jack and Rebecca getting mm-hmm. that crazy mad attraction love.
Sure.
But then their kids... very different. I mean,
right.
we haven't yet seen the Randall Beth. That probably will be the same thing. But we see Kate sleeping with a married man, eating French fries.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And Kevin, not even getting an audition, already divorced.
Mm-hmm.
Or was he divorced by this point?
No, he was not divorced.
He might have been.
Yeah, he might have been divorced
probably
by this point.
Yeah, he was.
Yep.
So we've got like the complete opposite. These two kids, their lives are like not even close to starting. You
right.
know, it's just kind of like revving in neutral. And
right.
I love that this show does it because it's like, yeah, some people do get that fairy tale romance.
Sure.
And we know it ends early.
But even Randall and Beth, I mean,
yes.
you know, they're the power couple, you
mm-hmm.
know, of all, mm-hmm. you know, hashtag relationship goals, right? And Randall's my binky. And Beth is...
oh my gosh, she's stellar.
She is awesome. But, you know, I think it was interesting finding out that you could see how she walks on eggshells around him at this time. And she, even when she's talking to Rebecca, She's like, you weren't there.
I liked that she did that.
Yeah, me too.
Because Rebecca's saying, oh no, it's fine. It's like Rebecca from Halloween, right, where Jack's saying, no, something is wrong with Randall. He is being a little too strict with these things.
Right.
And I like that Rebecca, that Beth put her in a place and said, you weren't there.
Yep. It's like when you finally become an adult and you're like, I actually have my own opinion.
Yeah.
And trust me, I actually know. Yeah. I know you were his mom. I get it. Trust me, but no, I know I was there.
What a relationship building thing, though, between these two women, for her to be able to say to her, you weren't there.
Right.
Like, yeah, I know you're his mom. I know you've seen him almost all of his life, but you weren't there. And then a couple hours later, Rebecca's there, ready to catch the football coming out of Beth.
Right.
You know, from like this awkward, no, you weren't there, like, I'm the queen bee of Randall, to now these women coming together. That birth scene made me so happy for Rebecca, because Rebecca, remember, was under for her births.
Right, right.
She didn't get to have the you know what I mean? She didn't get to have this kind of experience, nor did she have a woman friend, family member. I mean, she wasn't close with her mom in the room with her.
Right.
So, and Kate, obviously, in this show, isn't going to be in her 20s having a baby. So here she is, able to do this.
So I want to get back to what I was saying a little bit earlier about, you know, the Jack and Rebecca meet in their 20s and it's this vibrant thing.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And this is why I love this episode, because when you see your boy Miguel.
Y'all been sleeping on my boy Miguel.
When he slides into her DMs, this is one of those things that's a mature way. It's not, it may not be fiery passion. It may not be, it may not be something out of complete love, but it's more something like, she didn't just fall into your boy Miguel's arms.
Yes.
It was just a mutual respect kind of thing.
Yep.
And it's her attempt to just say, it's like Dr. K going on the date with the lady with the dinner.
Yep.
With the rugs
totally
on the wall.
Totally natural and normal.
When you didn't know what tapestries were. It's like this. It's just like, yeah, I love how she types, I'm hanging in there, but she deletes it and says, I'm good. Mm-hmm. What are you up to? Mm-hmm. I thought that was fantastic.
Yes.
And I loved the distinct dichotomy between these two relationships and how they both began.
Mm-hmm.
And it's more of an indictment, I think, on how older people interact as opposed to people being in their 20s. So I really appreciated this aspect of the episode, which is what I thought was important.
Mm-hmm.
And even though this episode was a little bit on the nose, I do feel like the way that it was shot and the way that it was created, especially at the end with the reveal of, with Rebecca talking to the children and saying, man, you're going to get lost in the middle, and how it was interspersed between the 80s and then the 2000s with Randall's kid.
Uh-huh.
And it was almost like a singular conversation. But at the end of the conversation, she's saying, I think I have a new beginning for myself, which means she's already sent the message. You know, she's already done that.
Yes.
And Beth has helped her with the Facebook thing. Man. Excellent. Truly excellent stuff.
Can't even.
A couple of things. Well, yes. Actually, do you have any final thoughts on this episode?
No.
Really? Nothing?
No. I mean, I feel like I enjoyed my time with the big three, but I didn't feel like I learned anything particularly new about them.
Right.
I enjoyed it. I enjoyed seeing them in their 20s, man. The 20s can be tough sometimes.
A couple of things that I noticed. First of all, another completely great laugh out loud moment when Jack says, great, so I'm Rhoda with a mustache. It's awesome. Oh, man, that was great. I'm Rhoda with a mustache. And then I think it's also hysterical that even though Kate dressed up as Good Sandy in Grease and Randall dressed up as Michael Jackson, which are two total pop culture staples, they didn't understand who Sonny and Cher were.
Sweethearts. Sweethearts.
I was like, oh, man. And, oh, Kate. Oh, my God.
What?
The bangs. The bangs on Kate.
Listen.
Woof.
Listen.
That wig.
Yeah.
Is terrible.
Oh, well.
That wig is awful.
I mean, is that kind of what it looked like when I had those bangs?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, maybe it's just the bangs.
I'm not a big bangs guy.
I know you're not.
Not a big bangs guy.
I like I love
do,
bangs.
I can do sideswept bangs.
I get bangs every other year.
I know. And you think like it's going to like change?
Yeah.
Like, you think I'm going to be like, oh, that's awesome, Mary.
No, I think that my hair's going to look different. And yeah. then I cut it and I'm like, oh, yeah.
No, it don't.
It doesn't do what I want
it
to do.
It don't look
Oh, well,
good.
The bangs.
All right. So no new additions for okay. Puzzle Watch 2018.
Yeah.
As this episode was, I don't want to say inconsequential, except for the fact that we get the Miggy thing.
Mm-hmm.
But do you have any hot takes for this week, my darling?
I do not.
No hot takes whatsoever.
Nope.
Well, luckily, I do. So again, I was saying that this one is, this episode, is, again, not inconsequential. It tells a fine little story.
Yes.
It does what it does.
It makes us love older Rebecca.
Right. It makes us understand older Rebecca. And it makes us understand how she came together with older Miggy. And that's why I can't help but wonder if Miggy's going to die on Rebecca too.
Oh, gosh.
I can't help but wonder it.
Oh.
I can't because I don't want to say it's a relationship of convenience.
Yeah.
But it's certainly a relationship of that was born out of grief uh-huh. and a need to move on.
Uh-huh.
And I wonder if Miggy goes away on Rebecca. Uh-huh. I'm throwing that out there. It is what it is. It's probably not going to come true, but it would just feel thematically the same way to me. So that is my hot take of the week. Probably not one of my best hot takes, but I couldn't really think of anything off of this episode.
It's okay.
It's hot. This one was difficult. I'm not going to lie. All right, you ready to close this bad boy out, my darling? All right, let's do it.
Guess what? September's almost here. Are you guys excited? I'm excited. Oh, you know what I'm really excited about? The fact that you keep coming with the 1-2 punches with the written reviews on iTunes. Gosh, you guys, you're going to make me feel so happy. Mm. Nickname for me said I'm a longtime fan of Mary and Blake's Outlander podcast. So of course, I follow this podcast. I love Blake's detailed analysis of the who and what of yes. each episode and the funny, insightful points they make about each episode. But guys, the best bit of these podcasts is the very beginning of each, where Mary and Blake take turns sharing why the episodes were so relevant to them. I cry every time because their revelations are so beautifully expressed and so poignant. I never listen on the bus in London anymore.
Oh.
Thank you, you two. I know it can't be easy to be so vulnerable. Your honesty is much appreciated.
Oh,
well,
thank you.
For now, my name's Mary.
I'm Blake.
And this is Us Too.